Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 121 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of college football tonight with four different guests, all of them former Ankeny Centennial standouts. In a little while, I'll be visiting with Jake Penninger of Penn State and Riley Moss of Iowa, as well as Brady Peterson of Iowa State. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest. He is a teammate of Peterson's at Iowa State, and he just completed his redshirt freshman season as a defensive back for the Cyclones. He is Tyler Rogers. Tyler, thanks for joining me on the phone. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, it was about a year ago when I had you on the podcast after the 2019 season, and I know you were really excited about your future and the Cyclones' future at that point in time, you know, and then the pandemic hit in March, and things have been anything but normal ever since. Can you describe what the last several months, you know, have been like in terms of dealing having to deal with COVID-19 and all the protocols that were put in place?
Oh, man, I'm not even going to lie. It was a lot of taking getting used to and just, you know, trying to get with the program and all the protocols that our team was having us do, just trying to understand what was being asked of us, just trying to adapt to everything, and just to continue to be safe, you know, keep myself safe, keep my teammates safe, coaches and everybody, and so just trying to keep that in mind and just continue to be like a team player. And so I'd say that was my biggest thing. You know, you don't want to be the reason to stop the team's success, so just trying to do everything in my power and my part to make sure that the team can move forward. And so that's kind of what my focus was. And so that's kind of how I took approach to it. So,
well, Iowa State seemed to deal with it better than a lot of teams because you guys never had a game postponed or canceled due to the virus. Do you think that was because you guys had a pretty tight bubble around the program?
I think it was. And I think it's hats off to everybody within the program. Between trainers, you know, the strength staff, the coaches, and even the players. And so everybody kind of bought in, you know. Everybody understood that you go out or, you know, you go to the store without a mask or something like that, that you're potentially going to infect others and, you know, be the reason. And so I think everybody was kind of aware that we had a lot of potential, and they were able to stick to the process and, you know, the long time that it was sitting in, you know, your apartment, you know, not going able to see friends and that kind of stuff. Well, it sucked. I think the payout was huge. And so it was pretty awesome to be a part of something that special in Iowa State, and even crazier that we were able to do it with this pandemic going on. And so I thought that was something pretty special that myself and our team and our entire organization was able to accomplish.
Oh, for sure. So how often did you get tested during the season? Was it like three times a week?
It was three times a week. We Sundays, Wednesdays, and then Fridays were test days. And so I'm not going to lie, my nostril got a little tender and sore from all the swabbing.
So it was always the nose swabs, huh?
Yep, always the nose swabs. And so you never really knew how far they were going to go up. So it was always a surprise.
I'll bet. Well, the season got off to a rough start for you guys with an unexpected loss to Louisiana, which obviously ended up being a really good team. But what were you thinking after that loss? You know, did you think that at that point in time, maybe you guys were a little overrated?
To be honest, kind of, yeah. You know, watching practice and just seeing how we were flowing, I had pretty high hopes, especially after the previous year, how we kind of ended things and who was all coming back. I was pretty confident. And so when that happened, I was kind of more of, you know, like, what's going on here? But back in the locker room, just listening to Campbell talk, that moment it was preaching, you know, are you going to be a pretender or are you going to be a contender? And so I think everybody kind of bit the bullet and just decided to put their head down and go to work. So, It might have been the best thing for us, honestly, that year, dealing with that so we can, you know, kind of check our ego and everything. So as much as it did suck to lose to a really good Louisiana team, I think it was honestly for the better.
Well, you guys certainly bounced back in a big way. You went on to have the best season in school history, making it to the Big 12 title game, and then closing out the year with a Fiesta Bowl victory over Oregon, and your team was ranked 9th in the final AP poll. You know, now, we always hear Coach Campbell saying, trust the process. Do you think that was the key to rebounding from that loss to Louisiana, just staying the course?
100%, yeah. I mean, obviously with COVID, we didn't know what to expect, but we had planned for, I think it was 9 more games after that one. And so, you know, one game, first of the season, it's not going to determine where exactly we want to go. And so he preached on that, and the leaders of the team kind of took over and like, hey guys, this is a wake-up call. And so that definitely did play a factor into everything. Is, you know, the process is going to be long. He always says it's a marathon, not a sprint. So we just got to stay the course.
Well, I imagine you got some reps in practice on the scout team going against the number one offense. So did you get a chance to go live against those guys very often?
We, not necessarily live, but we, every day we were able to go up against them, you know, 100%. So just trying to make both sides of the ball better, whether it be scout team or the actual first and second team offense, you know. And so we were able to go, and at the end of the day, you know, my mindset is these guys are playing, so I got to keep them healthy. And so just trying to be smart with that and understand my role in the team and stuff like that. And so just trying to, you know, better myself as well as my other teammates.
Well, of course, this ended up being a free year for everybody because nobody's going to lose the year of eligibility if you want to preserve it. So even though you were a redshirt freshman, I'm assuming that you can come back and still play 4 more years. Is that right?
Yeah, that is right. And so depending on how things plan out, yeah, I'm still a freshman after 2 years, which is kind of crazy. But, I mean, it is what it is, and so just going to try and take full advantage of my eligibility while I still have it.
Now, do you have to make a decision by a certain point if you're going to do that, or could you, like, wait until, like, you know, your fourth year from now and then decide, oh, I guess I will come back for one more year?
I have no idea how that all works out, honestly. That's a good question, but if given the opportunity, I'd like to make the most of however much time I have left, so that would be my answer.
Sure. Yeah, I just didn't know because of the number of scholarships and things and planning for that, if they'd have to know by a certain point, you know, like how many guys are going to stick around for that extra year. But.
Right, yeah, no, I have no idea how that all works yet.
All right. Well, I know you're still trying to work your way up the depth chart in order to get on the field, and you told me a year ago that you knew you'd have to bide your time. Do you feel like you made some progress this year, though, and you're getting closer to reaching that goal?
I do, and obviously with the whole team coming back, it might be a little harder, but at the end of the day, you know, I gained a little bit of experience and knowledge and kind of more understanding of the game and what exactly the team is asking for. So I think coming back this third year that I just got to continue to piece it all together and just, you know, continue to put my head down and work and grind and understand that, you know, maybe an opportunity is coming this year or whenever it is. And so I just got to continue to be ready for it.
Well, yeah, you mentioned all the guys that are coming back, you know, guys like Charlie Kohler and Greg Eisworth, you know, are going to come back for that extra year. You know, were you surprised that so many of them did decide to come back?
Kind of. I mean, actually, no, not really. With them, these guys are 120% bought into everything about Iowa State. And so, you know, on Twitter, I saw kind of rumors of, oh, they're leaving, blah, blah, blah. And so I was just always kind of, I don't 100% know, but, you know, I'm glad that they're coming back, and it just kind of shows their dedication to the program as well as, you know, how good of a program Iowa State really is if these guys who have NFL drafts that are coming back because of something so special.
Well, one of the other returnees that you have in the defensive backfield is Ashim Young, who really stepped up and became a force this season as a redshirt freshman. Now, I was down in Dallas for the Big 12 title game, and of course, he was ejected from that game, and I think it was on the first play from scrimmage for targeting. And I know I get frustrated sometimes by these targeting calls because I don't know, you know, what else these defensive players are supposed to do on some of these tackles, because you don't really know what the offensive player is going to do sometimes. But, you know, as a defensive player, is it hard to just play the game sometimes because you have to worry so much about targeting?
Frustrated, you know, some people get about these calls is they don't realize that, you know, the guys going to make the tackle are making millisecond decisions based on what that offensive player is doing. Like in Ashim's case in the Big 12 championship, I mean, the guy's falling to the ground and he's going in for a tackle. And so it's so bang bang that, you know, it's so hard for, you know, you to tell a defensive player, don't hit him. Well, you know, that's kind of the game. And so there are some instances where leading with the head and the crown and, you know, spearing a guy is, you know, unacceptable, but I think the rule personally needs to be re-talked about, and the ejection factor of it needs to be reconsidered as well, because it is such just a tough rule, and that changes the whole outcome of the entire game too. So
yeah, I just feel like the punishment's just way too severe for that call, especially when it's not intentional. I mean, if it's kind of an accident, I mean, you hate to see a guy ejected for the whole game.
Exactly, and if we're going to continue to call targeting, I think we need to do it on both sides of the ball and realize that the ball carriers do lower their head as well too. So if we're going to continue to punish defensive players, I think officials and referees and the people of the game making the rules need to consider that as well. And so maybe that's the cause of defensive players having to use their heads, because the offensive players lowering theirs.
Sure. Well, Tyler, you were named to the Big 12 Academic All-Rookie Team in 2020, and you are a construction engineering major, right?
Yes, sir.
And that's a little more challenging than the journalism program that I went through there many years ago. But now, I think I asked you this a year ago, but how have you been able to juggle playing football with such a difficult major?
It's a grind. I'm not going to lie about that. And so just continuing to kind of learn myself and learn how to schedule, I think that's one of the bigger things that took me some time to do, and just understand that a lot of these classes and football does eat out most of my day. And so just continuing to learn how to balance that and, you know, kind of say no to some other things, it is difficult, but in the long run, I think it'll pay off. And so just continuing to stay loyal to that process as well is very important too. And so I'm only going to play football for so long, so I gotta have a fallback option.
Did that make it a little bit easier to deal with the pandemic when you guys had to stay in that bubble, having a lot of, you know, homework to do to stay in then?
I'd say yes and no. With school being online, it's a lot harder. And, you know, you have all this time and free time, and you're sitting in your apartment bored out of your mind. And so sometimes it did benefit, but other times it was more like, you know, I wish things were back to normal so I could go to class and, you know, kind of resume normal life. So
sure.
Took a lot of getting used to, that's for sure.
Well, Tyler, just got one other question for you. I imagine you're probably going to watch the NFL championship games this weekend. Who you got in those games? Do you got a favorite team that's still playing?
Oh, I got to tell you, if Mahomes is playing, I think it's going to be the Chiefs. That's who I think is going to win it all.
Well, I hope you're right. Yeah, that's my team. So, yeah, I hope he can do it again.
And so on the NFC side, I would like to see the Packers. I got to go with Aaron Rodgers, and I hope, you know, he can kind of pull it out. And I think that would honestly be the best Super Bowls, Chiefs and Packers. And so that's what I'm hoping for, and that's what I'm predicting as well.
Yeah, a lot of people here in the Midwest would like that matchup, I'm sure.
Oh, 100%.
All right, Tyler, hey, thanks a lot for your time tonight. I really appreciate it. And, you know, good luck next season.
Thank you very much, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. All right, my next guest is a former Centennial star who is now a junior place kicker at Penn State. He ranks number 5 on the school's career extra points list with 124 and is tied for 12th on the career field goals made list with 35. He is Jake Pinniger. Jake, thanks for joining me on the phone. How you doing?
What's going on, Dan? I'm doing great, man. I'm glad to be a part of this.
Hey, you bet. Well, this is your first appearance on the Ankeny Fanatic podcast, so it's nice to finally get you on. I really appreciate your time. And I know you just turned 22 years old a couple of weeks ago, so happy belated birthday to you. Do you do anything special to celebrate?
You know what? I just kind of hung out at home with my family and, you know, played some games. You know, just kind of hung out with them the entire night. Nothing much else.
All right. Well, let's talk about the 2020 season. You were named to the Lou Groza Award watch list, and then you went on to make 9 of 13 field goals and 27 of 28 PATs in the 9-game season. Were you happy with the way that you performed?
Yeah, I thought I came out of the gate the first couple games. I didn't perform the way that I knew that I was capable of performing and playing the first game, certainly, and then, you know, through a 3-4-game, you know, basis of the season, I just, you know, it wasn't up to par with my standards and what I wanted to come out there and do right away. But, you know, after that, you know, I kind of found my groove and ended up with some good numbers. So, you know, overall, it was okay. Different season than you know, we're all used to, but, you know, a lot of learning, a lot of building going into this next season.
Well, yeah, it was definitely a different year, and we'll get into that. Well, your team opened the year ranked in the top 10, but then got off to an 0-5 start before winning your last four games to finish with a 4-5 record. Obviously, that wasn't the kind of season that you guys were hoping to have. To what do you attribute the team's slow start?
There's all sorts of directions you can point to and things that you can bring up and say, but, you know, it just comes down to us not playing, you know, football that we're capable of playing here at Penn State. And, you know, I think, everybody had to take a look in the mirror and ask themselves, you know, what they could do better. Coaches, players, staff, everybody, you know, just, you know, try to rally together and, you know, fix what was going on. Obviously, that's not the type of football that we play here at Penn State. So, you know, we just, you know, had to keep pushing forward, had to keep moving forward. And, you know, that's what we did, and ended on a good note.
Well, of course, the pandemic hit last spring, and for a long time, it didn't appear that the Big Ten would even be playing football, you know, in the fall. And then the conference reconsidered and announced that the season would begin in October. So there was a lot of uncertainty there for a while. Do you think that had anything to do with how your team started?
No. I mean, you can make that. You can make, you know, everybody who plays college football, you know, they had to deal with the same thing, or well, Big Ten at least, you know, they had to deal with the same thing. So, you know, I really don't think that affected it too much. You know, obviously, there's certain things that COVID does affect, and, you know, it might all have an effect, but, you know, personally, I think that didn't affect our team. You know, it just a different year, man. You know, we just didn't play the caliber of football that we're capable of playing until, you know, the second half of the season. Obviously with COVID, like I said, there's many problems and things that come up, but, you know, overall, I didn't really think it was a reason that, you know, we had a slow start.
Well, fortunately, you guys were able to turn things around in the second half of the season. It all began with a victory over Michigan at the Big House. What do you think was the key to the team's turnaround? Was it just a matter of staying the course?
Yeah, staying the course. You know, things were rough. You know, we're all had our backs against the wall, facing some adversity, and you know, the message was just to keep pushing and doing more. Right? You know, you don't like the results, so you can't just keep doing the same things. You got to invest more. You got to pour more into it. You know, that's what we all did. And the win at the Big House against Michigan, that was the first time we beat Michigan at Michigan in a long time. So that was a great win for our team. And, you know, we were excited about that. You know, I think that's what got the ball rolling. But, it was just continuing to push, continuing to pursue, and then, you know, just keep our heads up and keep going at it.
Well, your team closed out the season with wins at home against Michigan State and Illinois. Now, you guys are used to playing at home in front of 110,000 fans or so, but of course, this year, because of COVID, most of your games had little to no fans. So what was that like? Did it take a while to get used to that?
Yeah, it was weird for sure. You know, we're used to running out of the stadium, out of the tunnel, and just, you know, fans as far as you can see, as high as you can see. And it was a different experience for sure, especially in Beaver Stadium. It felt like a high school game or something like that. You know, they were pumping in noise and sounds and things like that. But it was for sure different. You know, I don't think it had anything to do with or changed anything. It didn't change, you know, how we played or approached the game. But it was for sure different running out there, you know, having to be, you know, empty to very few fans in the stadium.
All right. Well, one of your team's losses came against Iowa at home on November 21st. So your former Centennial teammate, Riley Moss, who I'm going to have on the podcast next, now has a 2-1 advantage over you in your head-to-head matchups. Did you guys get a chance to catch up before or after the game?
Yeah. We talked before the game, you know, over text, of course, you know, just the events leading up to the game, you know, what our seasons were looking like up to that point and so forth. And then after the game, you know, we caught up for a few minutes. I caught up with him over this winter break that we just had a few times. So yeah, he's got one back on me now. So, it's always good to catch up with him and you know talk about our teams and our seasons and stuff like that.
Well, you guys are scheduled to play in Iowa City on October 9th in the 2021 season, so that's likely going to be your last trip home to Iowa with the Nittany Lions. Now, assuming that things do get better with COVID and they allow a sellout crowd for that game, how many friends and family members do you think you'll have for that game?
Yeah, that would be awesome if we could get to that point next season to where we have all those people there. But we'll see. If that's the case, yeah, you know, I'm sure I'm gonna have a handful of family members come out and you know some friends as well, just like it was last year, where I had a decent amount of people come up to that game too. So yeah, I imagine there'll be a couple people in the stands, a part of my family and friends like that.
Well, I'm sure you're anxious to play in front of a full house again, you know, even if it is at Kinnick, where most of the fans are cheering for the Hawkeyes. How much did you miss, you know, the roar of the crowd this year?
I mean, you can't focus on just the crowd and allow that to be a distraction or something like that, but it definitely was missed. It definitely was something that we missed at Beaver Stadium, other stadiums, you know. It just brings so much energy, so much juice to our players, to everybody who's there. And, you know, it's just what we feed off a lot of the times, too. So without it being there, you know, it was a little tough at first, but we managed to get used to it. But next year, if we can get back to that, that'd be awesome.
Well, you have at least one season of eligibility left, and because this year was considered a free year for everybody, you would have the option to come back for a fifth season in 2022. You know, have you made any final decisions in that regard?
Down the road, I've talked to my coaches and stuff about that and how they feel, and I've talked with them about it. You know, we're at a good place, but yeah, I'm just gonna cross that bridge when it comes time. It's a little later on down the road, but yeah, I've had talks with my coaches and things about that sort of thing.
Well, of course, you never redshirted anyway, so I mean, sticking around for a fifth year wouldn't be that unusual. Well, of course, you have a chance, too, to put your name into the Penn State record book in a lot of different places, you know, whether you play one or two more seasons. I mentioned earlier where you currently rank as far as the career field goals and extra points. You're also 11th on the all-time scoring list with 229 points, and you're sitting 13th with 47 career field goal attempts. You know, would that be an incentive for you to come back for a fifth season to maybe set a few school records?
That could be a part of it, I guess. You know, I don't really, you know, pay that close attention to those sorts of things. I think a bigger reason for me coming back would be to, you know, win a Big Ten championship, go to the college football playoffs, win a national championship, you know, build something that would mean a lot for Penn State as a team. But those individual goals, you know, you just put your heart and your soul into the team and focus on winning for the team, and then those individual accolades will come. And yeah, like you mentioned, they've started to come, and they're starting to come, but you know, I'm just continuing to pour into the team, and you know, the individual awards and stuff will come along with that.
Well, I know you've told me before that you have aspirations to play in the NFL, and depending on how you do, you know, next season, I'm sure that's something you'd have to consider too, if there's an opportunity, you know, to move on to the next level.
Yeah, the NFL is always, you know, for I'd probably say 100% of kids who play college football, that's a goal to have. Obviously, it's a lofty goal to have, but you know, that's something that I've always wanted to do, and that's something that I continue to want to do. So yeah, you know, whether the season's good or not, you know, that's not going to dictate my decision to do anything in terms of that. You know, it's just going to be more, you know, talking with my family, coaches, teammates, things like that. So yeah, but that's a little later on down the road here from right now. So you know, that'll probably be something that gets discussed later on.
Sure. Well, I know kickers don't typically get drafted until the later rounds, you know, if at all anyway. So regardless of when your college career ends, you may end up having to go the free agent route anyway, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's for kickers, punters, you know, it's tough to get drafted at all. You know, you could be the best kicker punter in college, and it's still tough to get drafted. So, you know, I'm not focused on any of that. I know that if I, you know, continue to work hard, continue to follow the path that I'm on right now, and you know, just continue to, you know, put up numbers and do good things, that, you know, my time will come, whenever that may be.
Well, speaking of the NFL, we've got the championship games coming up on Sunday. Who you got in those games? Do you have any favorite teams still playing?
You know, I don't really have any big NFL teams personally. I don't really follow it too much, but you know, I do know, I watched the games last weekend at home. You know, Kansas City, even without Patrick Mahomes, the better half of the second half of that game, you know, they look really good. They're tough to beat. Tampa Bay, you know, they just got so many weapons on the outside. Fournette at running back, you know, of course, Tom Brady at quarterback. So, I don't know, but Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's having like an MVP type of season. Green Bay's, you know, they've had a really good season, so I'm probably going to root for Green Bay over Tampa, just because, you know, I think they're
Well, it should be two good games. Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun here in the Midwest if we had a Green Bay Kansas City Super Bowl.
Right.
Well, hey, I wanted to ask you about your brother Hunter as well. I know he spent a year as the punter at Sam Houston State before transferring to Louisiana Monroe, where I think he was going to sit out the 2020 season. So where's he at now? Does he have a year left?
Working through some things right now, trying to figure out what, you know, what's going to be best for him and what he wants to do. So yeah, that's still all up in the air for him right now.
All right. And just one last thing for you, Jake. I know you were a Centennial guy, but I'm guessing maybe you heard about Ankeny High School winning the Class 4A state title in November.
Yeah.
Were you happy to see Dowling Catholic's 7-year run of championships, you know, come to an end at the expense of a team from Ankeny? Right. Right.
Yeah, so, which is beyond crazy. I mean, to win 6 or 7 or how many, you know, state championships they won, it's just unbelievable. But yeah, obviously it was nice to see, you know, a team, it may not have been Centennial, but Ankeny, you know, all from the same place. It was nice to see those guys. You know, I saw stuff about it. I had heard stuff about it. I didn't watch the game personally, but, you know, I saw that they won that. So that was huge for Ankeny. You know, shout out to those guys for snapping that streak.
Oh, sure. Well, a couple of those Ankeny kids are headed to Iowa. I'm not sure if they'll be on the field right away as true freshmen or not, but you might run into them next fall.
Yeah, I might, you know. I might.
Well, hey, Jake, thanks a lot for your time. Really appreciate it. Enjoyed having you on the podcast. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Well, I appreciate you, Dan, man. I hope all is well with you.
All right, you bet. Thanks again.
Yep, have a good one.
Yep, you too. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office. Call 515-964-5952 or visit gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, my next guest is a former standout defensive back at Centennial, and he recently completed his junior year at the University of Iowa. He helped the Hawkeyes to a 6-2 record this season. He is Riley Moss. Riley, thanks for joining me on the phone. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, really appreciate your time. You certainly had a productive year on the field for the Hawkeyes, racking up 33 solo tackles and 10 assists in the 8 games. I know it was not an ordinary season by any means, but were you happy with the way that you played?
Yeah, you know, with all the circumstances that happened this year in terms of COVID and trying to battle that, I think all around my preparation, our team's preparation was pretty productive. Yeah, it was good.
Well, yeah, let's go back to last spring, you know, when the pandemic first hit, because of how the virus was spreading, you know, there was a lot of doubts over the summer whether the Big Ten, you know, would even play football in the fall or not. And the conference even announced, you know, at one point that there wouldn't be any football. So when some of the other conferences started playing, what was going through your mind? Were you just preparing for the possibility of like a spring season?
Yeah, you know, we really didn't know what was going to happen. But seeing other teams play and other conferences play, it was kind of a bummer. But I'm glad there was some, or at least it got overturned and we were able to play. But yeah, it was kind of, the mentality was in terms of me and my teammates was just be prepared for anything. That's where our coaches were also preaching was, you know, make sure you're in shape because we could get a call from the Big Ten tomorrow and say, hey, you guys are playing in 3 weeks or 2 weeks and you got to be ready. So, we were just kind of on our toes and very flexible. It ended up kind of working out that way, and I'm glad we prepared the way we did.
Now, during that downtime, you guys weren't practicing, right? So you just had to work out on your own?
Yeah, correct. So me and Jack Kerner would lift and run and do all that in Ankeny and in Iowa City. We'd go to the Iowa City High Field and Iowa City West Fields and work out and stuff.
All right. Well, yeah, eventually the Big Ten reconsidered, and then they announced that the season would start in October. You guys got off to an 0-2 start with losses to Purdue and Northwestern before rebounding to win your next 6 games. Do you think it just took a while for this team to gel?
Yeah, you know, it did, but I think we made a really good comeback. And the thing that I like about this team the most, and I think this has been the best team I've ever been a part of, is how close we were through everything. And I think we were all after that second loss we kind of looked at each other and said, hey, we're not gonna, we're done making excuses, and we're done losing, you know, we're gonna do everything the right way, and even if it sucks, even if it's hard, we're gonna power through, and the results showed. So I'm really glad that, I mean, like I said, this was my probably the best team that I've ever been on, and it was a really special season.
Well, I know your roommate is quarterback Spencer Petras, and I think he took a little bit of criticism after those two losses, but he went on to pass for 1,569 yards and 9 touchdowns this season. Was there ever any doubt in your mind that he was the right guy for the job?
Absolutely not. I knew from the day that I met him and watching his film and his high school film that he could play at this level and he could be very successful at this level. I feel like what people don't really understand is how hard the kid works. I mean, it's unbelievable. He's the most straight edge kid that I've ever met. He does everything with a purpose and everything with like for the, what am I trying to say? To win, basically. He does everything in order to win every day, basically. So, but he's the right man for the job, and I never doubted it. People have bad games. It was his first two starts for those two losses or whatever, and he got punched up for it. But I never, in the back of my mind, I never really doubted his ability or anything, because he came back, and I think he did really well the rest of the season.
Well, you definitely played a key role in helping the team turn its season around. You had a pick six in the 49-7 win over Michigan State that ignited the six-game winning streak. Of course, the guy that threw the ball in that game was former Valley quarterback Rocky Lombardi, whom you also intercepted during high school to clinch a big playoff victory for Centennial. You know, did that seem like a little bit of deja vu to you?
Yeah, it was. I was planning on, you know, before every game, I'm like, I need to get a pick. That's what all the DBs say. We're all like, who's going to pick this game, whatever, and in that game especially, I was like, I need to pick him off one more time at least. So, it worked out well. We ended up being in cover two that play, so all I had to really do was jam and sink in the flat, and I really didn't move, and he threw it, and it was right to me, and then I just saw some green field and started running.
Well, yeah, you kind of weaved your way down the field, 54 yards to the end zone. You showed off some nice moves on that run back. You almost looked like a running back or a receiver. Was that just all instincts on your part?
Yeah, for the most part. I miss touching the ball like in high school, so it was nice to actually be able to run the ball for once.
Well, one of your other wins came at Penn State, so that gives you a 2-1 record now against your former teammate, Jake Pinneger, who we just had on the podcast. So he told me that you had a little time to catch up with him before the game, huh?
Yeah. We talked, we talked after the game, and we just kind of talked about the season and quarantine and how it's been and stuff, and yeah, it was good talking to him. I hadn't talked to him for a while.
We got the bragging rights over him now, huh?
Yeah, I guess for one more year, and then we're back to it.
Well, of course, you guys played all your games in front of limited fans this season. How different, was that experience for you?
It was weird. That first game was very weird. It kind of reminded me of playing a high school game in a giant stadium, is what I'd put it. But it wasn't. Once you're in the game, it felt like a game. Just because of how fast the game is, and you have a lot of things to focus on, your head's in the game, and it wasn't too hard for me to adjust in terms of having fans there or not. So,
well, you guys were really on a roll at the end of the season. You posted a 28-7 victory over Wisconsin to kind of exercise some demons against the Badgers, but then the championship week game against Michigan was canceled due to some COVID-19 concerns, and then your team was selected to play in the Music City Bowl in Nashville against Missouri, but that game was also called off just a few days before kickoff due to some more COVID concerns. You know, how disappointing was it to not be able to play in that bowl game?
It was really disappointing just because we had to stay here for Christmas. We couldn't be with our families at all. It was me and my four other roommates. We got Chinese food on Christmas, kind of hung out. There was nothing really open. So, yeah, it was really depressing because we had practice and stuff like 2 days after Christmas getting ready. And then after 2 days of practice, they tell us, hey, you know, we're not having the bowl game or whatever. So it would have been at least nice for them to tell us beforehand so we could actually go home for Christmas like Missouri was able to do. So
sure. Well, I talked to another of your former teammates, Tyler Rogers, earlier in the podcast as well, and he told me, you know, what a tight bubble Iowa State had and how that contributed to their success as far as dealing with COVID. And you guys had a lot of success as well. You know, you didn't have any games canceled because of anything that you guys did. So, I mean, did you guys have a pretty tight bubble too?
Yeah, it was a tight bubble, and that's what Coach Ferentz
really preached to us is how badly do you want to play this season? Because, you know, if you guys are going out to bars and going out in public without masks and stuff and getting the virus, we won't have a season. So that's basically all that he said. And what kind of helped us is a lot of – most of the team actually got it in the summertime before the season even started. So a lot of people got it out of the way and had that three-month period of time where you didn't have to test or you couldn't get COVID. So.
Oh, okay. Well, of course, another casualty of this season was the annual Cy-Hawk game. I'm sure you would have loved to play against the Cyclones, especially because you missed the 2019 game due to an injury. But now you'll have to wait until September to get that opportunity. And, of course, considering what a great season Iowa State had, you know, the hype for this game is going to be off the charts, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a fun game. That's all I can say. I'm really looking forward to it just to be able to play against those guys. Because the last time we played them, it was in 2018, and I was just playing special teams. So it'll be fun to actually go after those guys.
Well, you have at least one season of eligibility left, and because this year was considered a free year for everybody, you would have the option to come back for a fifth season in 2022. Have you made any final decisions in that regard yet?
No. You know, I'm just playing each season like anything. So next season, it's just next season, and then however that goes, I'll evaluate and see. So it's nice to have that kind of in your back pocket, though, for sure.
Well, it looks like your starting secondary will return intact next year. Cornerback Matt Hankins just announced that he would come back for another season, and I think there had been some speculation that he might turn pro. So you have to feel good about, you know, what your position group can accomplish next year.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's good having all those guys back, for sure.
Well, and then I saw where you guys added a talented grad transfer as well from UNI and Xavier Williams, and I'm sure you remember him from track in high school. He can play too, can he?
Yeah, I've never seen him play, but I've heard from some of my buddies who play up at UNI that he's a dude. So that'll be a good addition to our team for sure.
Well, your team also has a couple of playmakers coming from Ankeny, joining the program in 2021, Brody Brecht and Arlen Bruce IV. Now, you would have played against Brody back when you were a senior at Centennial, and he was a freshman at Ankeny. Do you remember much about that game, and did you know back then, you know, what kind of potential he had?
So I don't really remember the game too much, but I do remember Brody, and I remember his size as a freshman, and I knew he would be, he had the body to go somewhere, and he really put everything together throughout his high school career. So I'm excited to see these dudes get to Iowa City and what they can do.
Well, of course, those guys led Ankeny to the state title this year, and I don't know if you had a chance to see any of their games or not, but that was a pretty impressive playoff run they went on, wasn't it?
Yeah. It hurts me that it's Ankeny, but it's cool that Ankeny won the state, and for our city, that's really cool. They had a really good run, for sure, yeah.
Well, yeah, somebody had to end that Dowling streak, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad it was, a public school. Let's go.
Well, back in 2018, you were one of only three true freshmen who did not redshirt for the Hawkeyes, so you obviously know what it takes to make an immediate contribution on the field. And I know Arlen is already on campus, so I'm sure that will help him make the transition to that level. You know, do you think Arlen and Brody have a chance to maybe get on the field right away?
You know, they're an offense, and when I tell people when they ask me about the offense, because it happens all the time, my buddies will always ask me, you know, how's the offense looking, whatever. It's really two separate teams during the season. You have the offense, and they're on their side of the field, and defense. So I really couldn't tell you, but I know if they work hard and stuff, they'll definitely get a shot for sure.
Well, I imagine you have some aspirations to play in the NFL like most Division I players do. And I know I've heard some people say that you might have a future as a safety in the NFL. Have you given, you know, the NFL much thought? And if so, which position might be best for your skill set?
No, I haven't really thought about it, to be honest. I've just been playing college football, you know. But in terms of position in the NFL, I don't know, wherever they put me. I'd like to still play corner. A lot of people said I couldn't play corner in college, so it'd be nice to prove some more people wrong and play corner in the NFL. But that's my ultimate goal, is to play corner in the NFL for sure. But I haven't really given it much thought, except for, you know, that's kind of my main goal through everything and throughout my life, has been to make it to the NFL. So.
All right. Well, speaking of the NFL, of course, we got the championship games coming up this Sunday. Who you got in those games? Do you have a favorite team that's still playing?
I'm going for the Bills, just because AJ Epinesa, and I just love their culture and their fans and everything. It's awesome.
Well, I heard that there was like 9 former Iowa players on the rosters of the 4 teams that are still playing. You know, that's a pretty cool stat, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really cool.
What do you think that says about the program?
I guess it's basically – that's kind of the Iowa mantra, I guess, is we breed NFL players. And I think that's just through our work ethic and culture and what's instilled in us and stuff. So I would just say it's just the work ethic and how NFL coaches really view our program.
All right, Riley. Well, hey, thanks a lot for your time tonight. I appreciate it, and good luck next season.
Thank you.
Hey, you bet.
Bye-bye.
All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, my final guest tonight is a former Centennial star who recently completed his first season as an offensive lineman at Iowa State. And like Riley Moss and Tyler Rogers, he is making his third appearance on the Ankeny Fanatic podcast, so I really appreciate his time tonight. He's joining me on the phone. Brady Peterson, how you doing?
How are you?
Hey, good. Well, I'm sure you knew that your first season of college football would be a learning experience for you, but I'm guessing you never thought you'd be dealing with a global pandemic. How crazy have these last several months been for you?
It's been a lot. Being locked up pretty much in our own bubble, but it was definitely worth it. Like, you know, not being able to go out and see my friends, my family, enjoy what college has been, but, you know, I got four more years of what I hope to be normal years, but it was a good year.
Well, yeah, when I talked to Tyler earlier, you know, he mentioned what a tight bubble you guys had and how everybody just kind of bought into the concept that you guys had to do that if you wanted to have success, right?
Yeah, you don't see a lot of college teams that didn't miss a game this year, and fortunately, we were one of those teams that just stayed the course and just pretty much bought into our bubble and what was going on with the world and made a lot of sacrifices, and it paid off.
Well, of course, this was a free year for everybody because you wouldn't lose that year of eligibility. But before the pandemic hit, was the plan for you to redshirt this season anyway?
Oh, yeah. There was definitely some areas I needed to grow in. Course, weight room with the new strength coach, and you know, just getting myself prepared for people that are, you know, a lot bigger than high school opponents and older, which I'm not used to.
Right.
So, well, it was a good learning year going up against the whole one of the best D-line in I think the nation, if not the best, and just, you know, getting beat. It showed a lot, and it proved to me that, you know, I still got a lot of work to do. But
well, yeah, it's not easy being a true freshman on a really good team because you do have to start at the bottom of the depth chart.
Yep.
You know, so how would you assess your first season? I mean, do you feel like you made some strides?
Yeah, I definitely put on some weight, which I definitely needed to do. You know, just going up against those guys. I mean, it's just like, you're going up against the best competition, the guys you're going to see on Saturday every single day in the weight room, and or every single day on the practice field, and just, you know, getting beat by them, just proving to me that I need to work harder, you know, get bigger, get stronger. It was definitely a good learning experience going up against those guys.
Well, how surprised were you by the team's success, especially after that opening loss to Louisiana? Did you expect this team to turn out to be the best one in school history?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, going into a year, you never want to think like, oh man, we lost a game, you know, we're just gonna give up the rest of the season and, you know, just kind of roll on our backs, and you know, when you look at it, we all went into this, obviously it's different not having fans and not having you only had family at our first game, but like just going out there and, you know, they were a really good team our first game, and just, you know, improving off that game, you know, going back into the video room and getting back with our coaches, figuring out what our weaknesses and what our strengths were, and, you know, working on our weaknesses and correcting ourselves, I think it helped a lot, and I think it was an eye-opener that we need to work on, and, you know, it definitely worked out.
Well, you mentioned the lack of fans at the games. You know, I'm sure one of the reasons that you went to Iowa State in the first place was the opportunity to play in front of, you know, like 60,000 fans at Jack Trice. And, of course, with COVID, you know, there wasn't any full stadiums this year. So how strange was that to go to the games and not have hardly anybody there?
I mean, it was definitely different. You know, it was like it felt like a scrimmage. I mean, I think the intensity is still there for us. And like Coach Campbell always says, it doesn't matter how many people are watching. We can prove to anybody that we don't need fans. And, you know, I mean, it was definitely different when we went from that game to, you know, like the Oklahoma game, when we had a pretty good sized crowd. But, you know, it was just really weird. I would say it felt like a scrimmage atmosphere. But, I mean, the intensity was still there.
All right. Well, you mentioned you put on a little bit of weight. So what do you weigh now?
I think my heaviest, I weighed 315, but I think right now I'm down to like 309.
All right. Well, yeah, you were obviously one of the biggest guys on the field during high school. And like you said, now you're just one of another guys at the collegiate level. And the defenders that you're going against are a lot bigger and faster than anybody you probably saw in high school. So has that been the biggest, you know, transition for you, just adjusting to the speed of the game?
Yeah, I would say the speed of the game and, you know, being places like, you know, meetings and getting all that stuff done. But I would say, yeah, the biggest thing is just the speed of the game is just so different. Especially practices are they're high intensity, they're game-like. And you're going up against kids that, like, in high school, a scout team was, like, I mean, like, we didn't go as hard. But, like, now that I'm on a scout team, we're, like, it's just every play, you gotta give it your all so that they can perform on a Saturday. And it was really good for me to, you know, experience that and start out the bottom, which I'm still at the bottom, but I definitely made some good strides. And, you know, just going up against those guys, it's honestly a blessing, especially for your first year going up against people like that. But
well, Tyler told me that, you know, that he didn't go live that much in practice against like the number one offense. So, I mean, did you go live that much against the number one defense?
Oh yeah. You know, offensive line, you don't really get much, you know, like we can say that we're going in, you know, shells, but we're still going full speed against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, I was on scout team the whole year. So it was just, I was going up against the ones the whole entire time. And,
So you probably got a little bit of a taste of Jaquan Bailey and Will McDonald, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, now I know it's not uncommon for an offensive lineman to switch positions during the course of a season or maybe even during the middle of a game, but have you kind of been slotted into a particular position, or are you trying to learn a number of different positions?
You know, I'm trying to stay open and get all the positions, like be ready for anything, but as of right now, I have moved down to guard because I think it was just like a better suit for me for right now. And I still love tackle. I'll literally play wherever. Doesn't matter to me at all. But
all right.
Yeah, I'm getting ready for any position.
All right. Well, you guys ended up having one of the best offensive lines in the Big 12. And the good news for the Cyclones is that most, if not all, of those guys are going to be back next year. You have to be excited about what your group can accomplish next year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we just have a group that trusts each other. You know, we're such a tight-knit group and so close that it's just you're going out there and competing with your brothers and your tight friend group. So I think it's unique to see, but it'll be fun next year to see them go out there.
Well, the tough thing for you, though, is that with all those experienced guys coming back, it's just going to make it that much harder for you to crack the two-deep lineup. So it's kind of a double-edged sword for you, isn't it?
Right, it is. But, you know, I mean, I just need to work hard and I get my shot.
Well, I know when you were in high school, you told me that the one thing you needed to work on was your pass blocking because, you know, you guys didn't throw the ball that much at Centennial. Now at Iowa State, there's a lot more balance in the offense between the running and the passing. So do you feel like you're maybe still trying to catch up a little bit with your pass blocking?
I would say, yeah. I mean, I think I could always work on my pass and my run blocking, but I would say definitely getting the footwork down for pass blocking. And, you know, it's a lot of timing, a lot faster guys, so I'm working in a lot different competition than what I was working with in high school, which is good for me, but, you know, it's you can always improve at any area of your game, so I think both run and pass blocking I need to get better at, but I think that'll come with just hours of work.
Sure. Well, I'm sure you'd love to get an opportunity to block for guys like Brock Purdy and Breece Hall before they head off to the NFL. You know, those guys have a way of making your linemen look pretty good, don't they?
They do. That's why Breece, especially Breece, was in, you know, the Heisman race for so long was because, you know, he trusts the O-line, and, you know, when you have trust between your offensive line, your quarterback, and your running back, it's going to be a good squad.
Well, when you first arrived in Ames, I mean, obviously you knew who those guys were, but from seeing those guys in practice, I mean, did you have any idea what Brees was going to accomplish this year?
I always thought, since watching him last year, I thought he was, like, you know, destined for greatness, but definitely not what I expected this year, and I'm happy for him, and, you know, it's going to be exciting, especially with him and Brock coming back. It's going to be a special one next year.
Well, as good as this year was for the Cyclones, you know, one thing that we were all deprived of was the annual Cy-Hawk game, and I think it would have been a great game based on how the two teams' season went, but now we'll have to wait until September 11th for the Hawkeyes to come to Jack Trice, and of course that'll be the 20th anniversary of 9/11. You know, assuming that we can have a sellout stadium that day, you know, how crazy is that atmosphere going to be?
I don't know. I just you know, I can't wait. It'll be, I mean, two top teams in the nation. I mean, I think, not that I'm saying I'm looking at ratings or anything, but I think they have us down at this pretty high, like number 9 or something,
mm-hmm.
and they have Iowa at like 14. So I think, you know, even just it being the Iowa State game, I think, you know, it's going to be a sellout either way. It's just how it always is. And, you know, just having that competition of, you know, haven't played in a year. It's been a long time coming, a lot of anger between both teams. You know, I think it's just, you know, it's going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Oh, I am too. I just hope we can have a full house for that one. So.
Exactly, yeah, same.
Well, hey, just one other question for you. Of course, we've got the NFL championship games coming up this Sunday. Who you got in those games? Do you got a favorite team still playing?
Packers. I'm going for the Packers.
Aaron Rodgers, man.
Love Aaron Rodgers, and I love Lazard. So I'm going for the Packers.
Well, I think it'd be fun if we get a Packers-Chiefs Super Bowl for everybody here in the Midwest.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Yeah. Well, hey, Brady, thanks a lot for joining me tonight. I appreciate it. And, you know, good luck next season.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good night.
You boo. All right. You've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Hope you enjoyed that podcast. I really had a good time catching up with Tyler Rogers, Jake Pinneker, Riley Moss, and Brady Peterson, and talking a little bit of college football. Can't wait for next season. So come back next week for another edition of the podcast. We'll probably be previewing the big Jaghawk rematches on the basketball court, which are coming up on the 29th.